Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. All right, make it move. Now, our main passages are going to come out of 1 Kings chapter number 7. 1 Kings chapter number 7. But let me give you something leading up to that. And maybe we can go right through this leading up to that and get to our main passage, because we didn't get to our main passage in the last session. Let's say 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 7. All right. Now, in Proverbs 13, verse number 22, Proverbs 13, 22, the scripture says, Proverbs 13, 22, it says that a good man, now the word man here is related to male and female, okay? It says a good man, what does a good man do, a good person? They leave an inheritance to whom? His children's children. Okay? Now, many times we talk about that and we think it's just, you know, something financial, something, you know, further them along down the road. Now, an inheritance, you've got to look at, it's something that the children didn't ask for. It's something that they inherit, they're entitled to. You know, and I made the statement this morning, you know, biologically, you know, you could look at Wynette. I like to call her Wynette. Hey, baby. Now, you can tell that Juan is her daddy.
That's right.
Because she has features like Juan. Huh? You can look at Justin and Josh and Jonathan. You tell who their daddy is, because he's passed down biological features. You can look at my daughters, you know, Tamara and Stephanie, and Kendra and Krista. You know, I can't deny that they're my children, because biologically, I passed down. They didn't ask for them. You know, they come out and they got to a certain age and they were asking for my eyes. And they said, "Dad, none of us got your eyes." You know, and they tried to put in some eyes that looked like mine, but, you know, they didn't get the real thing. But the thing is, they got features that I passed down to them biologically. And matter of fact, I couldn't even determine what I wanted to give them. It just came out biologically. You know, they got features of their mom. Well, that's what a good man does. What? Leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, when they have children, you're going to see in their children some of my features. Now, also, even on the materialistic side, you know, we leave, you know, things, or we give them things, you know, because why? We're a good man. We're good people. You know, we leave things that they are entitled to. This is their entitlement in life. But look at the next part, part B of that verse. It says, and the wealth of what? The sinner is what? Laid up for the just. Now, let's break this scripture down before we go back over to 2 Kings. It says, the wealth of the sinner. Now, he's talking about a specific individual or specific group of people in life. It says the wealth of the sinner, you know, is laid up. Now, many times in the Christian circle and in Christianity, we say that we're sinners saved by grace. I've tried to correct you over the years that you can't be both of them. I got your attention. Good. You're listening. Everybody tell your neighbor, I can't be both of them. You can't be a sinner saved by grace. You're either saved by grace or you're a sinner. You can't be a sinner saved by grace. Everybody say, I'm either a sinner or I'm saved by grace. See, when you're saved by grace, that makes you a son of God or a child of God. You know, a sinner is one who continues to practice sin. So you can't continue to practice sin and be saved by grace. That's impossible. You know, the Bible says that he that is a child of God cannot sin. In actuality, you cannot continue to practice, you know, what you're used to. There's got to be a change in your life. There's become a change in your life. You don't do what you used to do. You're not what you used to do. Why? Because you're born again. You're born again. You become different. You become changed. You know, a worm that becomes a butterfly, you know, never goes back to the state of being a worm. Let me say it again. You know, you don't see the butterfly saying, I don't want these wings. You know, I just want to crawl the rest of my life. No, that butterfly, when that worm, that caterpillar crawl up in that cocoon and break out of that cocoon, it never goes back to the state of being that caterpillar again. It's a butterfly now. It's got wings, and the rest of its life it flies through life. Well, that's how you are when you're a son of God. When you're a Christian, you know, you lose that crawling mentality. You're no longer crawling and looking at the ground all your life. You're soaring and you're flying through life. Amen. So you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. So the thing is, everybody say, I'm saved by grace. And the Bible says you are saved by grace, and that through faith, and is not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way there. You can't give your way there. He already paid the ultimate price for you to be saved. And that was Christ dying on the cross, him shedding his blood. So it says the wealth of a sinner, the one who continuously to stay out of the will of God, and the one that continuously to practice sin, it says something about the sinner's wealth. And what does it say about the sinner's wealth? It is laid up. Now, the word laid up, it means, you know, back in the day, I was telling the congregation, you know, earlier, you know, I watched my mother, I watched my grandmother, you know, I watched my grandfather. They would go down to a store and they would put stuff on what we call a layaway plan. You know, we call it layaway. I don't know where, you know, we just shortened that and everybody knew which is a layaway. What is layaway? You know, until I started investigating, I said, they're trying to say lay away. They're trying to lay away something. And now, in a layaway plan, what you did, you went down to the store because you didn't have all the money to pay for it. Then the owner of the store, they would let you lay it aside and you would pay on it till you had it paid off in full. Well, you know, Christ didn't do that to us, did he? He paid it in full, didn't he? He paid for our sins once and for all, you know, so therefore we don't have a layaway plan. We don't have to wait for him to catch up on payments to be saved. You know, he just saved us all at once. But the Bible says that the wealth of the sinner is laid away. Anybody ever went and visited somebody in the hospital? You know, why were they in the hospital in the first place? They were sick, injured, you know, hurt. You know, they weren't, I can guarantee you, they were not doing what they were accustomed to doing. We call them out of commission. You know, I remember in the ninth grade, as a freshman in high school, I broke my ankle, you know, and I couldn't perform and couldn't do what I used to could do because I was laid up. You know, and in being laid up, I was out of commission. So the Bible says that the wealth of a sinner is out of commission, laid up, in store. But who is it in store? Who is it laid up for? It says, it's laid up for the just. Romans 5 verse 1. Put that on the board real quick. Romans 5 verse 1. It's laid up for who? It's laid up for who? We come to church to learn. We come to church to get a word, you know, that will equip us, that will cause us to be a better warrior in the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible says, therefore being what? It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you take the I-F-I-E-D off of justify, it says, therefore being just by faith. Now, the word just or justified, it means to be declared righteous. To be declared righteous. All right. Go back over to Proverbs 13, verse 22 and put that in the NIV. Put it in the NIV. Proverbs 13, verse 22. All right. And hear what it said in the NIV. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for whom? Now, righteous or the righteous, it has actually it is not a religious term. I said again, righteous and righteousness is not a religious term. Anybody ever saw the movie Marshals with Wesley Snipes and Tommy Lee Jones in it? You ever saw that movie, U.S. Marshals? Well, there was a part in U.S. Marshals where Wesley Snipes, because he was accused of a crime that he didn't commit and he was on the run. And he made a statement. He says, well, I'm just trying to get righteous again. I'm going to be made righteous. You know, now, he used the term that we use in the religious circle, but it's not a religious term. It's actually a legal term. Righteousness is a legal term. It means, listen to me, to be in right standing with your government. Our government is the kingdom of God. Our government is in heaven. You know, we have dual citizenship. We're citizens of the United States of America, but we're also citizens of heaven. According to Philippians 3:21, it says that our citizenship is in heaven. But we know also we have citizenship in the United States of America. We have a birth certificate to prove that. And if you're born again, you have a second birth certificate that you're born again into the kingdom of God. Now, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The just is those that are righteous, those that are in right standing with the government. Now, according to Isaiah, put Isaiah chapter number 1. Verse 17, I believe it's 17, 19, but let's try 17 first. Isaiah 1, verse number 17. All right, now go to verse 19. Let's see what it says in verse 19. Yeah, here it is. Isaiah 1, verse 19, hear what it says. If you be what? Willing and obedient. Now, notice, he's making a statement in the form of a question that if you be willing and two things you got to be. His promise is you should eat the good of the land. You shall eat the good of the land if you be willing and obedient. Now, watch again. Let's go back to righteous. Let's go back to just. Just, you're justified by faith. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Righteous, again, is what? Being in right standing. What I come to tell you is that there's something laid up for you, and many times you don't know it's laid up for you, therefore you don't go after what's laid up for you, and therefore you don't make it move. If something is laid up, it's just laid up. It's just sitting there. It's just laying there. And because it's just sitting there and laying there, there's no movement to it. And because you don't know it's laid up for you, bottom line is you don't put no movement to it. And if you fall out of righteousness, see, because you can be a citizen and still be unrighteousness or unrighteous in the nation that you're a citizen in. Why? Let me just bring it down locally. If we had somebody, I use this example sometimes, if we have somebody in the city of Bay St. Louis, all right, we got somebody in the city of Bay St. Louis, all right, we're providing, as a city, we provide water, we provide sewer, we provide garbage pickup, we provide this to our citizens, all right, but in providing that to our citizens, we send them out a bill every month, okay, a water bill, gas bill, sewer bill, garbage collection, all that is included in that one bill that you get. Now, if a person, you know, don't pay their bill, all right, they don't pay their bill, all right, and then they come to City Hall and they're demanding that we do something for them. Okay, why should we do what they're demanding and they're unrighteous? Well, Pastor, what made them unrighteous? They stole from us. They're stealing from us. What do you mean they're stealing from us? We're providing them with water and sewer and gas and garbage collection, and they won't pay us. So the thing is, they are not in right standing with their local government. So therefore, you can't put no demands on somebody that you're not in right standing with. Understand? Now, the thing is, but if you're in right standing, then you can put a demand on that government. I have a situation at my house. I need the police over here right now. All right. And they might not come right now, but they'll come, you know, because you're in right standing. You're in right standing. So that's another service we provide to you because you're in right standing. So when you look at righteous, you know, the thing is, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for who? The just or the righteous, the ones that are in right standing. So our job is that God puts us in right standing. We need to stay in right standing. Because look at it. Put that scripture up there again. Look at it and get an understanding. Go back to 13:22. Proverbs 13:22. Here it is. Proverbs 13:22. It says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up only for these folk. For who? That's all it's laid up for, the just. Meaning that if you get out of right standing, if you're not obedient, then you're out of right standing. So you disqualify yourself from what's laid up for you. That's supposed to be for you. How many want to be disqualified for what's laid up for you? I don't see a hand in this place want to be disqualified. So what you're telling me is you want to be obedient. You want to be obedient. And the thing is, in being obedience, let me tell you something about obedience. Obedience is not that you do everything right every time. You know, sometimes you come short. This is why Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, pray this here, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Then the next part says what? And forgive us. Why do we need to be forgiven? Tell somebody we don't hit the mark all the time. See, you're aiming for the bullseye, but you don't always hit the bullseye. But it didn't mean that you wasn't aiming for it. Now, for some folk, you know, they're not even aiming for it. Those kind of folk, you know, that's what you call sinners, because they ain't trying to hit no bullseye. They ain't trying to shoot straight. They ain't trying to be straight up. You know, but he teaches us to ask the Father to forgive us, because we're aiming for the bullseye. We're aiming to walk right. We're aiming to do right. We're aiming to treat people right. We're aiming to love on our neighbors and to love on our fellow citizens, right? That's our aim in life. We get up in the, who get up in the morning mad with everybody, mad with the world? You know, I just want to go see who I can rob today. I want to go see who I can, you know, steal from today. I want to see who I can go intimidate today. You just get up with that on your mind. No, not as a Christian, you don't get up with that on your mind. You get up with, who can I help today? Where can I be a blessing, you know, today? Who can I love on today? Who can I make feel worthy today? Whose hurts can I heal today? Huh? That's a Christian's mindset. But even in doing that and aiming to do that, we miss the mark. So he teaches us to pray and forgive us. How? As we forgive others. You see, so our forgiveness is based on how we forgive others. You know, we're not like that person, that man in the Bible. The Bible says that, you know, he owed the king a whole lot of money. Owing the king all this money, you know, he go and he just fall down before the king. Oh, king, look, I just can't pay you. You know, my money funny, I'm busted, broke, I'm disgusted, you know, and there's just no way I can pay you. Have mercy on me. You know what the king said? King says, you know, I forgive you. I mean, wiped out his debt. He owed a lot of money too, sister. You know, and then, so he walks out, man, he's free. He don't owe nobody nothing. And then he walks into a gentleman that owed him just a little bit of money, a few pennies. He said, hey, dude, where my money? Dude said, he fall down just like he fell down before the king. He said, man, look, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted, and I just can't. Just have mercy on me. He grabbed that man by the neck and shook him and said, you're going to give me my pennies. As a matter of fact, throw him in jail till he pay me all my money. And the Bible says that the king heard what this dude did and said that he called the guy back to him and said, man, I thought you would have learned a lesson. I forgave you a lot. Couldn't you forgive a little? You know, how many of us as Christians, you know, we wake up and we want to hold on to stuff. You know, believe me, the stuff many times that you hold on to, it works in your body and it works against you. Just let it go. I tell somebody, let it go. Did you not know it's easier to smile than it is to frown? So you got to let some stuff go. You got to forgive others, especially if you want to be forgiven. Because there's a principle called the principle of reciprocity, that whatever you send out there is going to come back. All right, so we find out that there's something laid up for you. And how do I make what's laid up for me as a righteous person, as a just person? How do I make that stuff move toward me? How do I make it gravitate toward me? Because it's mine, right? It's mine here. It's your inheritance. How do I make it gravitate toward me? How do I make it move toward me? Well, one of the ways is in prayer. One of the ways, and another way, is to change the way you think. First of all, if you don't know you got something laid up for you, you'll never try to go after it. You'll never try to make it move towards you. You got to know it's laid up for you, and then knowing that it's laid up for you, then you go after it. You know, if you know they're going to give you a paycheck at the end of the week if you work, then that's why you get up on Monday through Friday and you go to work. because you're going to make that paycheck move towards you. You can't just lay up or sit down at the house and watch as the days turn or as the world turn the days of our lives and then want them to give you a paycheck on Friday. No, you got to go do something and make that paycheck gravitate towards you. Am I right? So everybody says enduring. Come on, touch your neighbor, says enduring. You got to do something. You got to do something to make it move towards you. Let me just give you a couple more scriptures. Look at, put on the screen, what is it? Ecclesiastes. No, let's go to Job. Job 27 verse number, let's start at verse number 12. 13? 12. Let's start at 12. Job 27. All right. Job says, behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? Is that one we need to start at? No. Verse 13. All right. Now, this is the portion of a wicked man. Wicked man is a sinner. Wicked man is one that, you know, keep doing the same thing over and over. And I often tell you, you know, if you want change in your life, you can't do the same thing you did, okay, and expect change. If you want something different, you got to do something different, right? It's insane to want something different and keep doing the same thing. That's insanity. If you want something different, you got to do something different. So the Bible says this is the portion of a wicked man or a sinner with God. This is the portion of a wicked man or a sinner with God. An inheritance of oppressors, which they receive of the Almighty. This is what the sinner gets. All right, verse 14. It says, verse 14, if his children be multiplied, it says it is for the sword. This is what the wicked man, the sinner. It says, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Now, you as a righteous person have a different lot in life. David says, I've been young. He says, now I'm old. I've never seen what? The right. Who's the righteous again? Who's the righteous? The one who is in right standing with their government, or the just. David says, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, that's his offspring, that's his children, begging bread. But that's not the case here. Case here in this passage is that their offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Then we go into verse 15. It says, those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. You know, so this man, you know, he's going to be buried, you know, when he die, and his wife ain't going to cry for him. Because his wife going to say, you know, he was told over and over, you know, to straighten up and to do right. He knew better, and he kept doing wrong. He that is often reproved hard in his heart, you know, shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy, Scripture says. So the widow ain't going to weep. All she's going to do is enjoy the insurance money, okay? All right, so verse 16 says, though he heap up silver, watch, though he heap up silver as the dust. How much silver he going to heap up? As the dust. And prepare raiment, what? As clay. Look at verse 17. It says, he may prepare it. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle a driving or a rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls.
Say, "But the just shall put it on." Somebody shout, "Me, Lord."
"Me, Lord."
So here in another passage, you know, the Bible says, you know, that you're going to put on what the sinner has laid up. Scripture tells us in the mouth of two or three witnesses, do what? Let every word be established. Well, the book of Job is written by Job. The book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. That's two witnesses. So it is an established word. Now, Ecclesiastes 2:26 real quick. Ecclesiastes 2:26. Now, put Ecclesiastes 2:26 in the Message Bible. And look what it says. It says, "For God give it to a man," in the Message. "God may give wisdom and knowledge and joy to his favorites, but sinners," you know, and we're not bashing sinners today, okay? All right, and we're not down on sinners because God loves sinners and so should we. We love sinners, but not the sin that they do. God loves sinners, but not the sin that they do. But here God says something about sinners. He says that, "But sinners are assigned a life of hard labor and end up turning their wages over to God's favorites." Raise your hand and say, "I'm a favorite of God." So what I'm saying is that there's something God wants to turn over to you because it's laid up for you. You just need to know how to make it move. Now, here's how we're going to make it move. Give you a few principles here, and then we're going to pray for you, and then going to release you to start making some stuff move, okay? I said we're going to release you to start making some things move. Because from now on, when you go in prayer, see, this is why you're fought tooth and nail not to pray. And then to rush your prayer. And not to have set some time aside in your life to pray. Because you can cause things to move and to gravitate towards you when you start taking authority and you start commanding and demanding in prayer. In the book of Isaiah, it makes a statement, you can command ye him concerning the works of his hand. You can start commanding God. You don't just have to ask, you can command him. God don't mind that, you know, you commanding him. And commanding is not being angry at God, talking about you're supposed to give me this and supposed to give me that and you're supposed to do this. And you know, you ain't got to tell God that, you know, but you can command him. You command him with a gentle attitude. You know, my children tell me that all the time. Matter of fact, you know, one of my children today told me, Dad, your shirt looked nice hanging out. The other one told me, Dad, tuck your shirt in. They were commanding me. I said, leave my shirt alone. It's just like it is. Yeah. So the thing is, now they didn't do it. They didn't do it in a bad way. They just said, Dad, I think you look nice with your shirt tucked in. The other one said, Dad, I like it just like it is. Yeah. So the thing is, they were commanding me, and I know which command to listen to. You know, that's why when you got women in your life, you don't know which command to listen to. That, when you got a multiple, then yeah. So you got to make up your own mind. So here it is. There is something. Everybody say, there is something, that's laid up
for me,
and I need to know how to make it move to me. Because it's doing me no good just laid up. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 7. Here's a story. And watch the principles we learn from this story. 2 Kings chapter number 7, beginning at verse 1. Now, before you get to 7 verse 1, y'all know the scenario here, that the king of Syria have come and they have surrounded the Israelites. And they have them shut in on every side, so much so it's a famine in the land. A famine is shortage of food, shortage of supplies, shortage of water. And they have them shut in. Now, in having them shut in, the scripture says in chapter number 6, they are actually buying donkey heads to eat. And they're paying for them 80 shekels of silver, I think. And they're actually buying, listen to this one. This one is the horrible one. They're buying dove's dung. You know, that's bird doo-doo. And they're actually eating it. They're mixing it with the donkey head, and that's what they're eating. And it gets worse than that. It says that there were two women that got together, and they said, both of them had little children, and they said, now today we'll eat your child, and tomorrow we'll eat my child. Okay? So things had gotten so bad, they were eating each other's children. So the king of the Israelites said, well, that's the prophet's fault. The prophet, you know, he the one prophesied famine, and we're gonna kill him. If we kill him, then we can end the famine. So that wasn't the thing that caused the famine. It was because they became unrighteous. They got out of position. So in 7 verse 1, it makes this statement. It says, 2 Kings 7 verse 1, it says, then Elisha said, everybody tell somebody, all we need is a word from the Lord. See, whatever you've got going on in your life, all I need is a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord will tell me how to correct what's going wrong. If I can just get the heartbeat of God, of what God is saying about my condition right now, my condition will change if I just adhere to it. Right? If I be what? Willing and what's going to happen? I'm going to eat the good of the land. So it says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. He says, thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, this is some good news, y'all, because I don't know when the last time they ate flour, barley, this stuff. They ain't had this in a long time because they were eating donkey heads and doves doo-doo. Okay? But the prophet prophesied, tomorrow about this time, conditions are going to change. That in the gate of Samaria, you'll be able to buy what? Put it on the screen again. You'll be able to buy. Come on, media. Stay with me, media. You'll be able to buy. No, we're in verse 1. There we go. 2. All right. You'll be able to buy a measure of fine flour for a shekel. And you'll be able to buy two measures of barley. That's going to happen tomorrow. Now, I don't know how long they've been in this famine, but tomorrow things are going to change. Tomorrow something is going to happen that's going to make some things gravitate in their direction. By tomorrow about this time, they're going to put into play something the people are going to do that's going to cause some movement. Y'all want to know what it is? Some of y'all don't. Some of y'all do. You know, but mom, something going to cause some movement. Because right now, I'm getting tired of this donkey head and this doo-doo. So what is going to happen that's going to cause some movement? How can I make this thing move that belongs to me? Well, look what happens here. It says, then a lord or a gentleman on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? It says, then the man of God says, and he said, behold, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you ain't going to eat thereof. Look how the message puts it. Look what verse 2 says in the message. It says, the attendant on whom the king leaned for support said to the holy man, you expect us to believe that? See, the man of God said, tomorrow about this time, things are going to change. And the king leaned on his lord, on his servant hand. And the servant said, do you expect us to believe and to fall for something like that? See, some things that y'all would say. Some of y'all are in a situation so bad right now. And God said, tomorrow about this time, you say, now, pastor, you think I'm supposed to believe that? It took me a long time to get in this situation. And you think God is just going to turn that thing around overnight? Do you expect me to believe that? You know, if you can only believe things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Because with God, there are many possibilities. All God needs you to do is believe. Now, if you believe, that means that you're going to do something different to make some things move your way. So watch. So he says, look what that man said. He says, do you expect us to believe that? Trap door openings in the sky and food tumbling out. You'll watch it with your own eyes, Elijah says. He said, but you will not eat so much as a mouthful. All right. Now go to verse 3, but go back in the King James Version. And it says, and there were four lepers, men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another. Come on, what did they say one to another? What did they say one to another? What they're saying is that they're in an idle position. And what God has laid up for them is in an idle position. And it being in an idle position and we being in an idle position, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing shaking. So all of a sudden, you know, and notice, God had to get somebody, you know, who had a condition. God had to get somebody who had a situation. God had to get somebody who was desperate. See, normal people are not desperate. Although sometimes you're eating donkey heads and dove dung, you know, the thing is, you ain't desperate enough yet. You ain't desperate enough to make a move. You ain't desperate enough, you know, to want what God has laid up for you. You ain't desperate enough as of yet. But I want you to know, these lepers got into a desperate situation and they start asking themselves, what was the question again? Why do we have all this ability and we're sitting here not using it? Why? We can still move. We might be falling apart, but we can move. Huh? We might be hurting, but we can move. Huh? We might have leprosy, but we can move. So why are we sitting here just waiting to die? Raise your hand and say, I'm a favorite of God.
All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.